I don't know if it's just a coincidence or an example of God's providential timing, but Psalm 84, which is a sign for us this Sunday, seems particularly apt for us in this season. Because the psalmist gives voice in Psalm 84 to what many of us have been feeling in the recent weeks and months as we have anticipated our return to this building. The psalmist cries out, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, faints, for the courts of the Lord." Many of us have felt that longing to return to this place, this space, because it's here that we have experienced the presence of God. And while we can encounter God just about anywhere, for many of us, God has drawn especially close in this particular place. And so we can pray with the psalmist, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, faints, for the courts of the Lord." But I also recognize that for some of us here this morning, some of us might have a hard time connecting with the psalmist's pining to be in the temple. You might be thinking to yourself, "Well, you know, I'm happy to be here this morning, but I wouldn't say that I've ever pined to be in church." Well, friends, this morning I want to invite all of us to step into the spirit of this psalm. Because the longing that the psalmist articulates is a signpost pointing to the way of blessing. And that's what God wants for his people, to be blessed. So the question is, what precisely is the psalmist actually longing after? As I've shared in the past, my mother grew up on a farm about 3 hours northwest of here. And when I was growing up, that farm was the most sacred place on earth for me. Now, as a boy, I wouldn't have called it sacred, but that's what it was, sacred. To this day, every Thanksgiving, the entire extended family gathers on that farm, aunts, uncles, first cousins, second cousins. But when I was a boy, what I really loved was to go there in the summertime and to stay with my grandmother, along with one of my cousins who was about my age. He and I would spend hours racing over those lonely dirt roads on go-karts, scouring the newly plowed fields looking for arrowheads, exploring the woods, searching for any signs of wildlife. And then there were the lunches, and I'm sorry to do this here close to lunchtime, but I got to tell you, the midtime meal was the main event, and you could be sure that at any lunch, you were going to get at least one of three main attractions: fried cornbread, homemade biscuits, or fried fatback, as much as you could eat, and it was amazing. When I was away from the farm, I pined for it. I longed to be there. But it was only when I visited the farm after my grandmother died that it became clear to me that what had really made that place sacred, what had made it special, was not the go-karts or the woods or the food, as amazing as all of those things were, it was my grandmother, whose steady, steadfast love was like an anchor during a season of my life when things back home were very complicated. Friends, when the psalmist says that he longs for the courts of the Lord, he's not talking about the building or its architecture, as beautiful as those were. He's longing for the one who occupies the building, the living God. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. You see, what made the temple so lovely for the psalmist, so beautiful, was not its physical beauty, as grand as that was, but it was the fact that in the temple, the psalmist encountered the living God. It's like the difference between a house and a home. A house can be grand and beautiful, but what makes it a home are the memories of the ones who have lived here, the many years of impressions of love given and love received. That's what makes it a home. And that's what the psalmist is pining for, the loving presence of God. Now, I want you to notice that the one singular detail of the building, which is foremost in his mind, he mentions as he talks about the birds, it almost sounds like he's jealous of the birds who get to make their nests and live in the temple full time. What's the one thing that his mind goes to? It's the altar. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Now, why the altars? What is it about that one single piece of furniture that's foremost in his mind? Again, there's nothing here about the physical beauty of the altars, although I imagine they were adorned with all sorts of gorgeous detail. No, the mind of the psalmist goes right to the altar because, friends, it's there that the sacrifices were made, which would wash him clean, would wash over his sin so that the psalmist might be restored to a right relationship with the God who made him, with the God whom he loves. So you see, the psalmist is pining for the loving God, the God who forgives, the God who shows mercy, the God who will not turn away a repentant sinner, sinners like us. And the altar is the physical manifestation. It's a tangible reminder that God promises to forgive all who come to him with a contrite heart. When anyone sees that altar, he is to be reminded that even though we mess up, even though we've all fallen short of God's commandments, even though we haven't lived up to God's calling on our lives, even so, the altar cries out to us, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Friends, the psalmist longs for the temple, like a soldier longs to be home, like a caged bird longs to fly up into the treetops, like a patient in a hospital bed on Christmas Eve longs for the smell of the spruce tree and the sounds of family milling about the house. The psalmist pines for the courts of the Lord because it's there that he receives the blessed assurance that there is a God who is real and who loves him. Friends, do you not see? Do you not see how the more acquainted we become with our own brokenness and the more experience we gain out there in a world that at times can be so cruel and unforgiving? Can you not see how sweet it is to be in the house of God where week by week our Lord Jesus meets us at the table and the altar to proclaim to us, Son, your sins are forgiven. I'm with you. Go in peace. Daughter, your sins are forgiven. I am with you. Go in peace. Can we not see how sweet it is to be among his body, the church, who, broken as we are, have committed ourselves to loving each other in the power of the Holy Spirit? Friends, can you not begin to see what the psalmist sees? Better to be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Now, maybe some of us here this morning, you're just not quite there. Perhaps you're open to seeing what the psalmist sees, but you're still not seeing it. Well, friends, if that's where you are this morning, then I have a radical suggestion for you. Ask God to show you. If it's still the case that were you to spend a Sunday morning out on the water or on the golf course without any part of you pining for God's presence in this place, if that's where you are, but if you're open to seeing what the psalmist sees and experiencing his longing, then friends, ask God to show you. Ask him. And just to allay any trepidation that you might feel about asking God for this, this is not like the situation that you may have experienced in childhood, where when Christmas was approaching, you weren't sure if it was okay to ask for the thing that you wanted. Now, you knew well enough it was certainly okay to ask for a Transformer or a Simon or a Pound Puppy or whatever it was. You knew the safe bets. But asking for a motorcycle, asking for the Death Star playset, asking for some of those things, that might be asking for too much. But friends, asking God for the power of his presence is not asking for too much. It's not risky at all. Because you are only asking him for what he has already promised that he wants to give you. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me." Friends, if this longing of the psalmist is foreign to you, but if you're open to seeing what he sees and receiving the blessing that he has received, then I urge you to ask God. To pray. Lord Jesus, would you please come into my heart and help me to experience what this psalmist has experienced so that I too might pine for your presence, for your forgiveness, for your mercy, for your love, and the love of your church. Ask. Pray. And then, friends, be intentional about putting yourself in a place to receive the blessing of his presence. See, one of the primary places that God answers this prayer is right here at this rail. Some weeks ago, I confessed to you all that I felt convicted that I had been coming to communion, I'll just say, a little willy-nilly. And that's not right. It's not right for two reasons. First and foremost, when we come to communion unreflectively, when we come to the holy table on autopilot, we are not giving God the honor that he is due, and that's not right. But also, when we come to communion with our hearts and our minds disengaged, which I've been doing, then we rob ourselves of the enormous blessing of the presence of Jesus, who makes himself available to us through his body and blood if we come to him in faith and in hope. Just to give a tangible example, I've shared this before, but much to my shame, I often let anxiety get the best of me. I know that's true for some of you as well. And part of my feeling convicted a few weeks ago was the realization, Andrew, you big dummy. When you come to receive the body and blood of Christ, ask him for the thing which he has promised to give you, the peace of his presence. And do you know what? Wonder of wonders. When I began to approach his altar with a thankful and expectant heart, surprise, surprise, he met me there with his peace. So friends, ask God to help you to see what the psalmist sees, And as he casts his gaze on the altar and pines for the loving presence of God, ask God to help you to see that. But also, friends, do your part to make yourself available to the blessings that he has already promised to give. Come and meet him at his table with a heart of gratitude for his tender love and forgiveness, but also with an expectant heart. And ask him for his peace, his hope, his joy. And what you will discover as he meets you there is that with the psalmist, you too will begin to pine for his loving, merciful presence. In his body broken at the table, and in his body, the church. And like the psalmist, you will be able to say, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise." Amen.